Hello and welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot, sponsored by SBK. I'm Warren Asher, standing in for Dave Clark because he's enjoying himself on holiday. Well-deserved break for Dave, but the man himself, Steve Palmer, is back with us again this week to preview all of the action. Steve, how have you been this week?
Very good, Wazza. Yeah, welcome back to Sweet Spot. You've picked a good one to come back on because I'm in a fantastic mood. I'm in a rare good mood. The golf started badly last week, but ended well, which is when you want it to go well at the end. The darts went well. Happy Gilmore 2 came out. Have you seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet?
I haven't yet. No.
What? Fantastic film. So yeah, I'm full of beans, Wazza. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, apart from the fact that I'm trying to entertain children in the summer holidays, which, as we both know, is not an easy thing to do.
No, very challenging, very challenging. No, and we need the summer holidays to end as soon as possible.
Well, we'll get down to reviewing last week and looking ahead to this week's golf in a moment. But just a quick reminder that all new SBK users will get £40 in free bets when they sign up and bet £10 for the first time. And head to SBK for lots of other offers and promotions throughout the weekend. Full T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org. Well, first off, let's look back then to last week, and we like to do these things in chronological order, Steve. So we'll start off with LIV Golf UK. And what can we say but another procession, you have to say, from Joaquin Niemann, who has just been the man of LIV this season. He's just absolutely outstanding at the moment. And this comes off the back of him parting ways with his coach and his caddy.
Yes, it's an incredible campaign. He's won 5 of the 11 LIV events this season. Dominated the circuit. Nobody else has won more than once, Wazza. So, yeah, Niemann's in charge of the standings. He's probably going to win the individual standings. John Rahm has won 0. John Rahm is second in the individual standings because of his consistency, but he's not won any LIV events. Niemann, just a constant disappointment in majors, though, isn't he? This is the strange thing about Niemann. He's rampant on the LIV circuit, but he's missed the cut in the last 2 majors. And after missing the cut in the Open, he went absolutely berserk. I don't know if you've seen the footage. He was stomping on his golf bag. He knew he'd missed the cut, stomped all over his golf bag, departing the 18th green, nearly dismembered his caddy because his caddy was about to pick up the golf bag. And then Niemann was slamming his spikes all over it. So you could see he was in a bad mood. And that bad mood did not end quickly because then he sacked his caddy. He's been with that caddy since 2020, sacked the caddy and sacked his coach, who he's been with since 2018. So despite all that LIV success, clearly fuming about what's going on in the majors, and he made drastic changes. So he was hard to trust last week, but got off to an absolute flyer. The new caddy is a mate of his, Dave. I've got to readjust. Diego Salinas. Diego Salinas is the new caddy. I don't know whether it's a permanent arrangement, but obviously they got off to a flying start. He's just a friend who plays on the Chilean golf tour, a humble pro. So obviously he's going to make more money as Niemann's caddy. I think he'd quite like to be a permanent fixture on Niemann's bag. So, a new era for Niemann, but, the same LIV dominance.
I think he's probably getting closer to the target of richest man in the world at the moment with all these wins on the LIV Tour. I can't see anybody getting any closer at this stage. You were quite upbeat about Adrian Mronk, and he was sort of there or thereabouts for long periods. Steve, would you keep a close eye on him in the next few weeks?
Yeah, he tied 7th with 2 others in the end. A disappointing bogey at his penultimate hole. I know a lot of people would have been on top 5, so he dropped from 5th to 7th. I hope punters took the extra places. I'm always urging punters to take as many places as possible. He was 66-1 with 8 places last week. Nice to see Little Mronky return to form. We're big fans of Little Mronky. Probably too little too late, almost certainly too little too late for his Ryder Cup hopes. I know he got a phone call. He got a phone call from Luke Donald after winning LIV Riyadh in February. Mronk won the first LIV event of the season. Luke Donald was so impressed, he phoned up and said, look, you're on the Ryder Cup radar. But it seemed like that put a lot of pressure on Little Mronky, and he hasn't performed since then. But he seems to be getting back to his best now, and gave us a good run for our money. And then David Puge is the other one. David Puge continued that run. He's not finished outside the top 20 in the LIV event this season. So he's played 10 LIV events and not finished outside the top 20. No good for us last week, but just relentless consistency from a player I really like.
I think I'm right in saying Dustin Johnson finished dead last in that event as well, didn't he?
Yeah, it's hard to know what side of the bed Dustin Johnson's going to get out of these days. He played well at Valderrama the other day, which surprised a lot of people. But an enigmatic character. You never know what you're going to get.
Anything else to take out of Liv other than Joachim Niemann's big bank account?
No, we just keep an eye on the backroom changes. Yeah, I'm very interested to know whether Diego Salinas is going to be the new caddy because no caddy experience. It's a classic case of a top player recruiting a friend. It's worked well for Rory McIlroy. Harry Diamond was his mate, and obviously they've won it all together now. Will it work well for Niemann? We'll see. I'll try and find out whether that's going to be a permanent arrangement. Time will tell.
Okay, well, we'll bring you more, of course, on TweetSpot over the next few weeks on that. We'll turn our attentions now to the Senior Open at Sunningdale, and Padraig Harrington became one of an exclusive members group of players who have won both the Open Championship and the Senior Open. Once again, just showing his quality at this level, Steve.
Yeah, the favourite obliged. I mean, I was getting way too wrapped up in course suitability last week with my selections. I should have just been focusing on ability because, you know, the best player in attendance has won. I like backing Harrington on links terrain. I backed him for both of his open wins. I love Harrington on a links. I didn't think he had an edge at Sunningdale, but it doesn't matter. He's so good. He can win anywhere, can't he? He's won the last two senior majors now. He was second in the senior PGA. He almost won three senior majors this year. He's having an amazing campaign. Evergreen character. I'd love to have the longevity of Padraig Harrington. He turns 54 next month and just bounces around the world. An absolute legend of the sport. Yeah, it's hard not to be pleased for him, but it was disappointing punting wise.
I mean, we all know the quality of his golf, obviously, but do you think that sort of effervescent style that he has, and he just doesn't seem to get stressed about anything, that it must work in his favour, and so certainly on the seniors tour.
Yeah, the most stressed I've seen him this year is when that fella didn't help him find his ball in the last senior major. You see that there was an on-course commentator that didn't help Harrington. He had a lost ball and they had a big argument afterwards, which I think got settled down. But Harrington's just got a real passion for golf. You know, I don't know anyone who loves golf more than Harrington. And and to have that drive for success and in your mid 50s, as you say, an effervescent character. I love that word, effervescent character. If I ever open a pub, I'm going to call it the effervescent pheasant. Have I told you that? The effervescent pheasant. I'm going to open a pub called the effervescent pheasant one day, and I'll get Padraig Harrington to open that pub. That's a great plan. That's a great plan.
Yeah. We can see him just like putting the scissors on the tape now just to open that up. I have to say a quick word as well for Bernard Langer, who is up towards the top of the leaderboard again.
Yeah,
just continues an amazing vein.
Some people just age so well, don't they? I often have great fears, how I've lived my life in the early years, that I'm just going to wilt very quickly. I do have great fears about that. I think it's inevitable and I think it's probably going to be quite soon. But Bernard Langer looked after himself. Yeah, as you say, he's like a fine wine. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 61 years of age. Yeah, some of these guys just keep going and going and going, and it's really impressive. The oldest player we backed last week was Richard Green. He's 54. I was just hoping he was going to get some place money. He was just floating around all week, just off on the fringes. Finished 12th in the end, but gave us a better run for our money than Søren Kjeldsen. Søren Kjeldsen, I feel like weight of expectation got to him last week. Was open with a 75. He was three over through his first five holes and played well on Friday, but missed the cut by a shot. Shot a 67 Friday, missed the cut by a shot. I think Kjeldsen realised that was a good opportunity and buckled a bit. But long live Padraig Harrington.
Well, the review on this week's Sweet Spot, we've left the best to last because Steve racked up yet another winner this year on the 3M Open. Kurt Kitayama came up trumps, Steve, and you must have been highly delighted with the way that he finished in particular, because he was there to be shot at the top of the leaderboard.
Oh, it's an amazing weekend's work from Kurt Kitayama. Yeah, a glorious weekend. I mean, I was focused on Little Moronki on Saturday. On Saturday afternoon, I was getting frustrated that Moronk was letting Niemann get away. And then I got these texts coming from a couple of mates saying Kitayama's on 59 watch. And, it was a tremendous fillip. And I was a bit sceptical, but he certainly was. He made 12 birdies on Saturday. 12 birdies was a third round 60. He missed a putt from 12 feet. He missed five putts from 13 feet. So close to a 59. His iron play was absolutely incredible. Then on Sunday, made 8 birdies, final round 65. It was just a joyous night. It was one of those nights. Sunday evening was, I was in the snooker club, and I had the golf on one television and the darts on a neighbouring television. So I was standing on the balcony. I could see both. And it's just entered punting heaven. You know, the darts went perfect. The darts went well. The golf went well. Love Kurt Kitayama.
I wonder how many people were on the Littler Kitayama double. I wonder. you mentioned there, I mean, Saturday obviously was impressive, but I have to say Sunday even probably more so, because if you look at the top four in terms of the leaderboard, 65, 66, 64, 64, they shot in the final round. So Kitayama had to go low again to make sure that he won.
Absolutely right, was there. I mean, I was a bit concerned at one stage that William Meow was going to catch the kitty cat. You know, William Meow chasing the kitty cat. But fortunately, the kitty cat fended off Meow and all the others. I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there was you just needed to stay on the front foot there. Delighted for Kitayama and delighted for his older brother. You know, he had his older brother on the bag. Another fascinating caddy situation, because they joined at the Barracuda. So in Kitayama's previous event, he recruited his older brother to come and help him out, because Tim Tucker, who has been Kitayama's regular caddy, decided he wanted to leave. So Tim Tucker was actually caddying for Bryson DeChambeau last week in Live UK. Tim Tucker used to caddy for Bryson DeChambeau regularly, but Bryson DeChambeau got a new caddy. Bryson DeChambeau's current caddy was having a week off, so Tim Tucker said he'd go over and caddy for him in Live UK. So Kitayama is left without a caddy, gets his older brother in. Yeah, another tremendously likable character. I mean, these two of the nicest guys on the circuit here. You know, Kitayama and his older brother, I was just so pleased for both of them. You know, really, really good eggs. And, he kept Kurt in good condition, because it wasn't easy. I mean, Kitayama went 3 shots ahead with hardly any holes to play. But then Sam Stevens made a late charge, and that second shot to the last, you know, he sort of wafted it a bit, just got over the water into the bunker, then had a really tough bunker shot. It was a dramatic night, but it was one of the best nights I've had in a long time. It was so enjoyable at the snooker club. There were fights breaking out around me. There was intoxicated males fighting at the snooker club. I think a lady was involved. I think perhaps they both liked the same lady.
It wasn't Sam Stevens fans then. That was the case.
I think they both liked the same lady. I think there was some issue there, but I just found it hilarious. There's literal fights breaking up around me, and I just laughing my head off as the golf and the golf and darts is getting perfect. They should have backed Kurt Kitayama, and they would have been a bit more relaxed about life, you know.
Yeah, everybody would have been happy then. We should have mentioned a quick word on Matt Wallace as well, who finished in a tie for third, final round 64. Possibly too late in terms of Ryder Cup. You mentioned earlier on, of course, about Maronk. Wallace is probably in a sort of group of players who might miss out.
Yeah, I think it's too competitive, because there's only 3 places really up for grabs. And, you know, even Matt Fitzpatrick, I don't think, certainly get on the team, because there's those 3 places. Luke Donald's got some decisions to make. He's got 3 tough decisions. Keegan Bradley's got much bigger decisions to make. But, yeah, I can't see Matt Wallace getting there. But, I mean, Matt Wallace deserves a pat on the back, because he showed incredible mental endurance there, because... Yeah, one of the main reasons we avoided the favourites last week, Maverick McNealy and Sam Burns were first and second in the betting. But they had 4 rounds of the Scottish Open, 4 rounds of the Open Championship, and I just thought they'd be too fatigued to perform at their best. And yeah, that was correct, because Maverick McNealy missed the cut. And Sam Burns closed with a 74 for 61st place. So anyone back those two had a terrible, terrible time of it. But Matt Wallace had the same schedule, and Matt Wallace handled it really well. So yeah, an impressive show of fortitude there, but I can't see him being on the Ryder Cup team.
Anything else to take out of the 3M Open before we head to this week?
No, just a huge amount of love for Kurt Kitayama and his brother. Yeah, just it's nice when you back a couple of nice guys and they win it. Really good eggs. Much like you, Wazza. You're one of the nicest blokes in the world, aren't you?
Well, thank you very much, Steve. But I think it does taste even better, the celebratory drink, when it's somebody you like who ends up winning as well, of course. And Kurt Kitayama certainly did the business last week. Let's turn on to this week's action then, and we'll start off, as ever, as we say, in chronological order, and that's with the Women's Open, which takes place at Royal Porthcawl. In terms of the betting, well, the name in women's golf at the moment on everybody's lips is Lottie Woad, after she won at the Scottish Open last week. She actually heads the betting as things stand at the moment. Ataya Titical, Nelly Korda and Minji Lee also towards the top of the odds ahead of the Women's Open. Firstly, Steve, before we get your selections, tell us a bit about the course and what we can expect this week.
Yeah, fantastic course. Royal Porthcawl, Wales, 6,580 yards, par 72, a wonderful links track, runs alongside the Bristol Channel. It's hosted lots of prestigious men's events. Yeah, the Senior Open comes here quite regularly now. We had the last one in 2023, but this is the first time it's hosted the Women's Open. The fairway's usually fast running. The greens have got lots of humps and bumps in them, but it's the weather that's the key to this. The weather will determine the difficulty of Royal Porthcawl. In rough weather, this is an absolute beast. That Senior Open I mentioned from 2 years ago, tied for the lead after 72 holes, were Padraig Harrington, Alex Chaker. They were tied for the lead on five over par and then had a playoff. This week's weather forecast suggests birdies will be in short supply again. We've got a few light showers, but it's the wind that will be worrying the ladies this week. Moderate breezes all 4 days. Looks like being a brutal test. I think driving accuracy, course management, good scrambling are the keys to success. We've got a field of 144 going to post.
And Steve had the winner 12 months ago with Lydia Ko. Can he find the winner again this time around? How many selections, Steve, for the Women's Open?
Oh, watch out, was it? Watch out. Watch out. Four!
Okay, four selections for Royal Porthcawl. And where are we looking first, Steve? Who is your main tip?
Minji Lee, who won the PGA Championship a month ago as a third major victory. It came in really difficult conditions. The wind was howling in Texas. Some of the greens were almost impossible to hold. There were a lot of players moaning about the conditions that week. It was so difficult. Lee, gritty Minji Lee, handled the test better than anyone. She's brilliant in the wind, much like her brother, Minwoo Lee. Mm. They're both fantastic in the wind. They grew up in Perth. I used to live in Perth. I know how windy it is in Perth. I love the weather forecast for Minji Lee. She's grittier than ever now. Yeah, she's 29 years of age, and she's got eyes on a career Grand Slam. She's won three different majors, so three down, two to go. One of those missing pieces of the jigsaw is the Open. So highly motivated. I think she'll be happy to really battle this week. You're going to have the right attitude this week. Minji's going to battle through these wins. Her Open record is excellent. Five top tens, three top fives. She threatened to win this before, and her confidence levels must be sky high at the moment. After winning that PGA, she finished third in the Evian Championship, had a couple of weeks off, then a nice warm-up last week on links terrain, tied 21st in the Scottish Open at Dundonald Links. She's got Mikey Patterson as caddy this year. Mikey Patterson, he's Scottish, knows links golf well, used to play for Dundee University. I think Minji and Mikey is the dream team for Royal Porthcawl. I think she's by far the best value in the field.
Okay, interesting. Minji Lee then is the first selection of four for Steve. Who is pick number two?
Leona Maguire. Bemusingly underrated in the opening shows. A 30-year-old Irish lady, got plenty of links experience, of course, growing up. Loads of early success on this type of track. Former world number one amateur. She was low amateur in the 2016 Open. She's gone on to win twice on the LPGA Tour. Steady Open form figures over the last 4 years. She was 13th at Carnoustie in 2021, fourth at Muirfield in 2022. Now she comes to another classic links assignment in really solid form. She's finished in the top 20 in her last four tournaments. She was seventh in the last major, the Evian, tied 16th in the Scottish Open last week, an ideal warm-up spin. I couldn't understand why she was so deep in the betting. Yeah, this assignment looks right up her alley.
Yeah, certainly plenty of experience, as you say, on links courses. Leona Maguire then is certainly one to keep an eye out in terms of this week's challenge. So that's two of the four. Who is pick number three, Steve?
Marja Stark, going off at enormous prices. Despite winning the US Open at the start of last month, she enjoyed a two-shot victory at Erin Hills, handled the tough conditions there really well. It was her second LPGA Tour victory. The first one came in Northern Ireland in the 2022 ISPS Handa World Invitational. She's got six wins to her name on the Ladies European Tour, 25 years of age, has shown herself to be fearless when a winning chance presents itself. She's shown plenty of bottle in the Solheim Cup as well. She's unbeaten in singles, two appearances. So I think Marja Stark's got what it takes. She's got the minerals. The reason we're getting such a massive price this week is because since she won that US Open, she's only made one cut. I think a bit like after the Lord Mayor's show. I mean, I think she's probably been distracted spending her money, was it? Yeah, the first prize was $2.4 million for winning that. So she's been struggling to get going since then. But I think she's a player to trust when the one cut she's made since then was in that windy USPGA that Minji Lee won. So I think when the going gets tough, I think Marja Stark is one to be on. Yeah, she's a strong, buxom woman, was her. She's not going to fear this wind.
Well, already you've suggested to me, Steve, that she's a big time player. You know, you won a major. Your other cut is in a major. You've played and done well in the Solheim Cup. I mean, I think three figures is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yes. Look at those prices, was exceptionally big prices based on a form slump since the US Women's Open. But, you know, you're talking about a class act here. A 25-year-old still got huge amounts to offer. She's never missed a cut in the Open. Three appearances. She's got a Scottish caddy too, was like Minji Lee. Stark's caddy is actually a former stand-up comedian, so he's always ready to sort of lighten the mood on a breezy link.
Kevin Bridges, is it?
No, he'd be a good caddy, wouldn't he? He'd be a good caddy. She's a fiery character, is Marja. She snapped her putter the other day, actually, in a fit of pique. So fiery character, but the comedian can keep her chilled out on the link. So yeah, I just couldn't believe the prices, really. Massive prices.
Yeah, massive it is. That's three of the four picks. Are we looking at a similarly large price for pick number four?
Even bigger, Wazza, even bigger. Just a bonkers price, if you ask me. Alice Hewson. Alice Hewson's been playing some great golf on the Ladies European Tour. 10th in the German Masters a month ago. 12th in the Irish Open, 10th in the Scottish Open last week, a pair of 69s at the weekend. Lovely preparation for Royal Porthcawl. A 27-year-old English lady, knows her way around links terrain, two-time winner on the Ladies European Tour. She won one last summer. She's got two top 20s to her name in the Open Championship, 2021, 2023. Similar build to Stark, you know, not going to be bullied by the weather gods this week. I've got a funny feeling that Alice is going to send punters to Wonderland on Sunday. Look at those prices about Alice Hewson.
300 to 1.
There's plenty of really juicy prices out there. If we can get her in the places, we've done the business.
Yeah, definitely. Well, some big prices to consider ahead of the Women's Open Championship this week at Royal Porthcawl. Steve has mentioned there, the conditions will play a big factor. We mentioned earlier on, Steve, that, you know, Lottie Woad is being mentioned at the moment as, you know, up there with some of the top players in the world after that Scottish Open victory.
Yeah.
It seemed very early to make her favourite for this event.
Well, we could devote a whole podcast to Lottie Woad. She is the talk of golf. She's been backed as if defeat is out of the question this week. She opened up at 11-1. And she's been backed in to, yeah, she looks like going off at half that price. It's been an almighty gamble. Everyone wants a piece of Lottie Woad. Clearly an amazing golfer. She won the Irish Open at the start of last month. Sorry, at the start of this month, when still an amateur. Then she was third in the Evian Championship, turned professional, and then won the Scottish Open last week by three shots. It's been a barnstorming start to this career. She's 21 years of age. She won an amateur event in Wales as an amateur in 2021. I had a mate in the snooker club on Sunday night in my ear saying, you've got to be back in Lottie Woad. But yeah, she's the talk of golf, you know, not just women's golf. Everyone's very excited about the future that this girl could have. But I, as you say, at the prices, I just have to leave out the prices. If you got the 11 to 1, then well done. But I can't be playing at these prices. The weight of expectation is huge this week. She's the center of attention. The spotlight's on her. She's young. She seems quite shy. Is she going to enjoy being the center of attention this week? I don't think so. The weather forecast is horrific. Last week, there was hardly any wind at Dundonald Links. This is a totally different assignment this week. Everyone's going to be making doubles and triples. Do you want to be playing at short prices about this newcomer? And everyone just assumes because she's English, she must have played lots of links golf. I thought it was fascinating, Dave, when she said last week she hadn't played a round of links golf since last year's Open Championship until last week at the Dundonald Links. So she's gone a year without playing links golf. She was born in Surrey, was her, which is not a links hotbed. It's not a links hotbed. Then she went to Florida State University in 2022. So, it's worth. I think punters are sort of assuming that she's a links natural. I don't think she is. That win in Wales was on a Parkland track. That win in Wales I mentioned as an amateur was a Parkland track. That win in Ireland at the start of this month was on a Parkland track. So I don't want to be fooled by last week because Dundonald Links was playing easy, benign weather. We saw Chris Gotterup, who's not a links natural, won the Scottish Open on an easy links in calm weather the other day in the men's event. I think very similar situations developing here. So this week, proper links test, proper links weather. I just wonder. I just can't have it at that price.
I mean, we'll doff our caps if she wins and say well played, but I mean, the price at the moment, as you say, it seems very short for somebody with that lack of experience and such a big tournament.
Yeah, we will doff our caps. She's clearly going places. She could win by 10 strokes, and then we'll all look very stupid I'll look very stupid. You won't look stupid, was it? I can't have Gino Titical either, who snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in the Evian Championship last time, in the last major. Yeah, she's never won a major, and that was unbelievable how she managed to lose that last major with late drama. So I can't. You get to Minji Lee, who opened up fourth in the betting, and I just thought, blimey, that's the one to be on.
Okay, well, if you didn't make a note of Steve's four selections, we will remind you, of course, of what they were later on in the show. But we're going to turn our attentions now to the action on the PGA Tour this week because it is the Wyndham Championship. And before we get Steve's tips, let's get a rundown of the course and what we can expect this week.
Yes, sir. Sedgefield Country Club, Greensboro, North Carolina, 7,131 yards, par 70, only two par fives, a classic Donald Ross design, hosted the Wyndham since 2008. Tree-lined fairways, small greens, plenty of runoff areas around them. So accurate driving, sharp scrambling, the keys to success. Hot and humid this week. We got a thunderstorm threat on Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. A breezy Saturday. So Sunday may end up as the best scoring day of the week, I think. A field of 156 going to post.
Well, SBK are running 25% winnings boost this week for the Wyndham Championships. If you pick the winner, you can expect a 25% winnings boost exclusively from SBK. Before Steve gives us his tips, just to give you a quick rundown of who's at the top of the betting, Matt Fitzpatrick on a good run of form, of course, recently. The likes of Ben Griffin, Aaron Rye, Keegan Bradley and Hideki Matsuyama behind him in terms of favouritism. How many picks, Steve, for the Wyndham Championship?
Five.
Five selections. And who is the main tip?
Ben Griffin, who I think is the most likely winner of this tournament. This is the first time I've backed him. I've certainly not been a member of the Ben Griffin fan club, but I can't ignore him any longer. He's become such a solid all-rounder. I think he's got an ideal game for Sedgefield. He can churn out greens in regulation in his home state this week. He was born an hour down the road. He'll be carrying huge support this week. Now he's got the putting confidence to make an impact in his home event. He's got loads of self-belief now, which has come from lifting trophies. He won the Zurich Classic pairs event in April with Andrew Novak as his partner. It was Griffin who was the key to that victory. He held the decisive putts on Sunday, held his nerve really well down the stretch of the Zurich. Then he made his breakthrough as an individual a month later. He won the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Similar assignment to this one, a test of precision. That Colonial victory, the culmination of an excellent spell of form. He's gone up a level this year as Griffin. He's put himself firmly on the Ryder Cup radar. He was 8th in the USPGA in May, 10th in the US Open last month. I think he would be favourite this week, but for a narrow miscut in the John Deere Classic, he had a cold putter, missed the cut by a shot in the Open last time out. He's never made the cut in an Open. I'm not remotely worried about that. I love that he didn't play last week. He's had such a busy schedule. He's desperate to qualify for the Ryder Cup team. He hardly ever has a week off, but he skipped the 3M Open, saving himself for this. He knows this is a more suitable assignment. I think that breather would have done him the world of good. He finished 4th on his Wyndham debut in 2022. 69, 69, 64, 64. He was world number 261 at the time, a Korn Ferry Tour player. And he was 7th last year. He carded a third round 63. Nari returns as a PGA Tour champion for the first time. It's best. He loves this part of the world. This is his manner. He loves the Carolinas. His best ever Korn Ferry Tour result was a playoff defeat in South Carolina. So I think Griffin wins this week and cements his place on the American Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, it would be a massive win for him, of course, if he could claim that victory and be in the US Ryder Cup team as well. So Ben Griffin is the main selection. Four more to come, Steve. Who's pick number two?
Denny McCarthy, who, like Griffin, has no affinity for Lynx golf. Like Griffin, he's played in 3 Opens and he's missed the cut in all of them. Punters should not be put off by McCarthy's failure to make the weekend at Royal Portrush. He's back on a stateside Parkland layout this week, back as one of the most likely tournament winners for me. Prior to going to the UK, he finished 12th in the Travelers Championship, 11th in the John Deere Classic. Earlier this season, 5th in the Genesis Invitational, 14th at Sawgrass, 8th in the USPGA. Just been a leaderboard regular. Surely only a matter of time before he sheds that PGA Tour maiden tag. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. He's twice been a playoff loser on the PGA Tour. Steady Wyndham form figures. One of the best putters in the world. I'll take a chance in this week. A nice price in a low-scoring event.
Yeah, it did seem... When you said that about him, you know, looking for his first win, it seems like he's been around for a while, Denny McCarthy, and he's always been there or thereabouts. But he also feels like one of those players, if he does get over the line, he might see him win another couple quickly.
Yeah, I remember Victor Hovland pipped him once and Akshay Bhatia pipped him the playoff defeats. Mm. He has come close, but he's won the biggest event on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. Yeah, we all expected him to have won by now. Yeah, probably the best putter on the PGA Tour. He's so consistent on the greens. This is a good opportunity for him. Yeah, come on, Denny, rise yourself.
Quite a big price as well. So 2 down, 3 to go. Who's pick number 3, Steve?
Christian Bezuidenhout. Another strong putter on my team, a 3-time DP World Tour champion, twice a runner-up on the PGA Tour, extremely well-suited to the demands of Sedgefield, steady Wyndham record, never missed a cut. He was 22nd last year, making his 5th appearance this week, and just rounding into some excellent form. 16th at Colonial in May, 12th in the US Open last month, brilliant effort that, 13th in the Scottish Open, 34th in the Open, and 20th last week in the 3M Open. He made an understandably sluggish start, you know, coming from the Open. He's had a really hectic schedule, but closed with rounds of 66, 67, 65. That 3M Open venue does not play to his strengths. Yeah, it's a bomber's paradise. But Christian Bezuidenhout, if he's got enough left in the tank, as I say, hectic schedule, but his FedEx Cup position demands full focus this week, Wazzer. He's 74th, top 70 get into the playoffs. So big week for Bezuidenhout. I think he's going to strain every sinew to get in that top 70. I think he'll contend. His iron play has been so sharp lately. Yeah, massive breakthrough opportunity for Christian Bezuidenhout.
So we've had Ben Griffin, Danny McCarthy, Christian Bezuidenhout. Who is pick number 4 here, Steve?
Austin Eckroat, 2-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 26. Both those wins came last year. He's been quieter this term, but signs of life lately. 25th in the Travelers Championship, a signature event. 11th in the John Deere Classic at the start of this month. And an impressive closing 3 rounds last week in the 3M Open. 65, 68, 69. I feel like he's getting his act together again. Last year, he was in dismal form when he turned up for this event and he finished 6th. Carded 2 64s last year in this. This time, he's arrived in much better form. I think we'll get an even better result.
Okay, and our fifth and final pick for the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour this week is who?
Taylor Moore. One on the Canadian Tour in 2017, one on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2021, one on the PGA Tour in 2023, turned 32 yesterday. Now is the time for a second PGA Tour title. The Wyndham looks a great opportunity. Last week's 3M Open showed that Moore is getting back to his best. Four rounds in the 60s, finished 14th. Sedgefield, an even better fit for me. He finished fifth on his Wyndham debut in 2022. He's never missed a cut at Sedgefield. Yeah, I think he'll get involved at a juicy price. Ekro and Moore, lovely juicy prices.
Indeed. Just looking a bit further down the market away from the favourites that we mentioned earlier, and I just realised that Jordan Spieth is playing this week. Any reason why people might want to steer away from him?
Yeah, I'm not trusting Jordan Spieth. He just can't put it all together at the moment. One of the weakest performances in Happy Gilmore 2. I won't spoil it for you, was it? You're in for an absolute treat. It's definitely in the top two movies ever made. Happy Gilmore 1 being the other. I can't quite decide which is better. But yeah, Jordan Spieth was well. Yeah, there's some great cameos in that. Spieth just is not convincing enough for me. I know loads of people fancy Matt Fitzpatrick for this. He's obviously caught the eye. You must be a Fitzpatrick fan. You're from the north of England, and he's revered in the north of England. But I just can't have him at the price. I mean, he was fourth in the Scottish Open, fourth in the Open, but not a Sedgefield regular, was it? He's only played it once, 36th place in 2018. And obviously, there's loads of players in this field with like a wealth of course experience. I just wonder whether Fitzy might be slower out the blocks than a lot of them. I know a lot of people think he's a certainty for the Ryder Cup team, and they think he's back and he's back to his best. He's obviously a major champion. It's something about it I'm not quite convinced by. It might just be my snobbery. That cross-handed chipping technique just makes my skin crawl. Like, every time I see it, I'm like, are you a professional golfer? I find that so unsettling when I see that, but it's obviously working well for him. I don't know.
It's
I prefer Ben Griffin.
The claw putting doesn't look right. I can understand that. But just one thing that did strike me, Steve, as I was looking at the sort of top 12 in the betting for this, is just how many British golfers are on there. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick's the favourite. Aaron Rye, Robert McIntyre, Harry Hall is another one, of course, who's been showing some good form of late. Might be a win for him shortly, maybe.
Yeah. Harry Hall's been playing amazingly well. He's been making so many birdies on the PGA Tour. He hasn't done well at Sedgefield. He's missed the cut a couple of times here. So, I respect his chance. I mean, as you say, British golf's in a good place. European golf's in a good place. I mean, the Ryder Cup's looming large, and I feel pretty confident as a European.
Well, I was going to ask you one Ryder Cup related question here, because we look at the betting, and fourth in the at the top of the betting at the moment is Keegan Bradley. We're getting ever closer to him having to answer the question definitively whether he's going to play or not. For you, is it going to be a yes or a no?
I think that the noises coming out of the Open Championship, he did a lot of media work at the Open Championship. He didn't say for sure, but that reading between the lines, it seems like he's going to play now. Yeah, some of the responses he was making in interviews at the Open, I think he's going to play. And I think if we focus on the Wyndham Championship, I think that brings a lot of extra pressure, because I feel like I sensed he's already told Jim Furyk and the rest of his team that he's going to play. What if he suddenly loses his form now? What if he shoots a pair of 88s in the Wyndham, having already told that? I feel he's under so much pressure, and every week that he gets closer to the Ryder Cup, that pressure's going to increase. Because I think if he's going to, he might pick himself, I'm sensing, if he doesn't qualify automatically. He's under enormous pressure.
Play, having missed last time out, but I just can't help but think that if he's going to do that, then stand down and let somebody else take the captaincy. But clearly that's not his plan.
Yeah. No. I think he's planning on doing it all, but delegating lots of roles. Yeah, I think he's planning on changing the schedule a little bit. He's talking to Luke Donald trying to get concessions from Luke Donald on potentially picking pairings and changing the schedule of events a little bit. But it's a massive headache. And it's the PGA Tour bigwigs that should be holding their heads in shame. You know, it was a controversial appointment. It was a controversial appointment at the start of all this, and it's now looking like a foolish one, isn't it?
It is indeed. Well, we'll sure have more on that over the next few weeks here on The Sweet Spot. But that wraps up the look at the Wyndham Championship. So two big events to look forward to in the golfing calendar this week. Time to reflect now on Steve's selections. And Steve, we'll start with your four picks for the Women's Open.
Minji Lee, Leona Maguire, Marja Stark and Alice Hewson.
And we have five selections for the Wyndham Championship. Just remind us, Steve, who they are.
Ben Griffin, Denny McCarthy, Christian Bezuidenhout, Austin Eckroat and Taylor Moore.
Okay, nine selections across the two tournaments this week. So also across my mind, Steve, because I know you keep a close eye on Sports Personality of the Year as we get towards the latter stages of the year. We've got Rory McIlroy, we've got Luke Littler, and we've now probably got about six members of the Women's Lionesses squad as well to consider for this. I mean, Luke Littler, like you say last week again, just continues to dumbfound everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. Luke Littler, when he wants to win, does win. I mean, the events he hasn't won before now are the ones you should be focusing on, because he's just ticking them all off. There's hardly any major events he's not won. So yeah, when he's motivated, when you can keep him off the Xbox or whatever it's called, he practices and he's devastating. So yeah, Luke Littler would get my vote, but the women's football team, it was another fantastic achievement, wasn't it? They just win everything. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's fascinating in the snooker club. It shows the impact that they made in the snooker club. You had all these, you know, heavily tattooed psychopath males cheering on the women's football. We had the women's football in one, you had the golf, you had the darts, and everyone was passionately behind him. It's lovely to see England win something. We just, hopefully the men can catch up a little bit now. Tough market that.
It was almost the perfect weekend for Steve. Luke Littler and Kurt Kitayama delivered. Can we have another success this week? We shall see. Thanks very much indeed to Steve for all his efforts as ever this week. Thank you for watching. Don't forget, of course, to like, comment, share and subscribe. The show will be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Don't forget as well, as if you like your football, and the big kickoff video preview of the season is now out there as well, also on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So take a look at that. Until next Tuesday, though, enjoy your golf and please remember to gamble responsibly.